Hi, it's Francis Lam, and this is The Splendid Table, the show for curious cooks and eaters. So when you're thinking about your local Chinese takeout place, I'm guessing you're usually not thinking about the fresh brine of oysters. But oysters are everywhere there. Oyster sauce, I mean, which is one of Earth's greatest condiments. It's this thick, dark, syrupy goo of bottomless umami. But what is it? I mean, I've been eating it my whole life, and I actually have no idea what oyster sauce is or how it's made. So I got in touch with one of the country's best young Chinese-American chefs, Brandon Ju, because he makes oyster sauce himself for his restaurant. Hey, chef, how are you?
Hey, Francis.
As we tape today, it is the Lunar New Year, Chinese New Year, so Happy New Year to you, my brother.
Happy New Year. You're the dog. Yeah.
Dog's up. So I love oyster sauce, and you love oyster sauce.
I do.
You know, anyone who's ever had beef and broccoli loves oyster sauce, whether they know it or not.
It's true.
But let me ask you, what is oyster sauce?
I mean, for the most part, the way I describe oyster sauce is like almost like if barbecue sauce and fish sauce had like a child. It's
pungent child that had trouble making friends in the schoolyard.
That's right. Yeah, stinky.
But it was really sweet once you got to know.
That's right. It is sweet. And that's the characteristic of, I think, oyster sauce is that it has this sweetness, but it has like a really saline undertone to it.
Yeah.
That I think is like a really nice balance. That kind of almost tastes very natural to seafood, like that sweetness that you find in seafood. You know, in general terms, the oyster sauce is this reduction of, you know, as purely oyster flavor as you can get. Uh-huh. And I think that's a combination of, you know, you want to highlight some things that are actually characteristics of oysters. So the sweetness. Mm-hmm. So for sweetness, we use brown rice syrup and molasses. The fermented, robust kind of like end of the oyster sauce comes from fermented bean paste with a lot of aromatics, so ginger, soy, anchovy, tamarind, garlic. Those are all the seasonings behind, you know, getting that sauce to kind of round out.
Mm, so you cook those together with those.
That's right.
Molasses and the brown rice syrup.
That's right. Yeah. And the first thing we actually do, though, is we shuck raw oysters and we take the shells and we make a stock with just the shells. And
what?
I know. This is...
You're going into outer space now.
I know. But it's like when I thought of how do I really get to this actual flavor, it's going to take really reducing this flavor down as much as I can. So once we shuck the oysters, we save all the liquor, we add that to the shells, we make a stock with seaweed, ginger, and all that liquid. And once that kind of steeps for, I'd say, like 2 or 3 hours, we strain it, and we poach the oysters in that broth. And then after we do that, we dehydrate the oysters.
Yeah.
We then take garlic, ginger, onion, tamarind, anchovy, and we fry the dehydrated oysters in that. Then we start adding a little bit of malt vinegar and then the sugars.
Yeah.
So the molasses, the brown rice syrup, and then soy, and then fermented bean paste to kind of round out the very last part of it. And then it all just gets pureed.
Yeah.
And after all that, I'm still like tinkering with measurements. That's why like I have a recipe for you, Francis, but it's like it's definitely a working recipe.
Yeah, it is definitely a working recipe.
There's a lot of variables. So there's a lot of things.
I like that step 3 is make the stock with the oyster shells. And step 14 is... But okay, but this is amazing because, you know, this is a level of complexity and depth in the preparation. Certainly I'd never considered. And I think it's so interesting because right now we're in a moment where chefs of many different cuisines are really interested in making you know, making their own breads, making their own charcuterie, making their own pickles. And yet for Asian cuisines, people still feel like, oh, all that stuff you just go to the store and buy. And so I'm fascinated by why you chose to make this thing.
You know, thinking about my own ethos of how I want to eat, and also the integrity that I want to have behind my food, knowing that I can tell people that come to the restaurant that we've taken all these steps to make sure that all of the food that's being served is, you know, organic, local, small farmed, like food, mm-hmm. and things that we believe in. And I think when you have that ethos, but then you have these bottles of like oyster sauce and stuff like that, it just doesn't make sense. A big part of my frustration about even Chinese food's progression has been that it has relied on too much of the pantry to be store-bought. Mm-hmm. And because of that, there was no, like, you know, differentiation of Chinese-American food throughout America, mm-hmm. because all of it was being, you know, outsourced, basically.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Chef.
Of course.
This is really a lot to think about.
Yeah.
And all that from beef and broccoli. Brandon Ju is the chef owner of Mr. Ju's in San Francisco.